to advertise, email podcast@thisismaggie.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Maggie.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the queen of comedy.
Azia Kalamite.
Azia Kalamite.
We haven't even started.
Yo, let me drink. I love that dude though. I like that part. Don't lose that.
Yeah, no.
Have t-shirts and everything copyrighted because they're gonna fuck with you.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't copyrighted, but we do have t-shirts. Yeah.
Oh really?
And people don't know what it means.
Have a pink crop top for me. I'll wear it in summer.
Ah, pink, pink crop.
What do you mean about that gesture?
Yes, explain that.
Explain yourself about Lela. That's why I travel. Because I'm not just drinking what I bula. I'm not drinking just drinking what I bula. I'm not about to do anything. You think I'm a crop top? Me, I'm a crop top.
I'll tell you the funniest fat joke you had growing up.
Damn.
What?
Student of fat face.
Student of fat face.
Usala passing usala next to everyone, like all that shit.
Oh. Wow.
I've heard it all. Actually, you know, I'm from the rural area, and a family of eight.
Yeah.
So ngikhule vele ekhaya kya Corona bafana.
Yeah.
You know, and at school, but then I took after my dad. I speak a lot.
Yeah.
So I think before I knew that I even, you know, have words for myself.
Mm.
I would be like, okay, you bringing it, let me, you know. So I've always known how to respond. I didn't care.
So you've never ukale?
No. Oh. And I always tell people, with everyone, either fat, dark skin, whatever it is that you had that was young, that was not cool and whatever, that maybe made you lose your self-esteem,
somewhere,
insecurities. But you are only left with two choices.
Mm.
Either you're going to constantly try to prove people right or be marvel at that state. Mm. You know when you are one that they don't understand?
Mm.
You are safe.
Mm.
Because you are in a no man's land. You are on your own. It's good. Because now, even if whatever that you're doing is cool for you. Because if you do the right thing, they're still going to complain. You do the wrong thing, they're still going to complain. So do your thing.
Yeah.
So for me, that's the route I take. I was like, actually, I'm trying so hard to impress who here?
Yeah.
Let me see what is this. Because now when you're trying to impress other people due to insecurities, you end up ignoring yourself.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we have dope stuff to give.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I was lucky enough not to have that thing make me fall into depression. Kids now, depression, mental illness. No, but also I think there is a level of not being, we're not used doing things that other human beings from different generation used to do.
Okay.
And then we subconsciously think things are just going, no, we don't stay outside a lot. We don't really do human things that subconsciously, because you know, I grew up in rural areas and we used to go fetch up the water,
walk,
come back. Those things.
2 hours.
Bruh, because isama ufuna ukutuku washa ngamanzi. Yeah, we can't waste water.
Yeah.
Take your own 25 liter. That's why I grew up with the 25 liter here. Lalela, that's why I'm going to go to the store and do the money. I'm going to show up and 25 liter.
Oh, wow.
I can't go down like that. So I think life is meant to have things that are hard. As a human being, they do things to us to make us align. That's why even those people who are healthy go to gym a lot. Mentally, there's something that it does to you.
Mm.
You can't just smooth out. You go in after the car, someone is doing breakfast for you, you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
You just, you know what I mean? Subconsciously, that hinders us as human beings. And therefore, we do not, I believe, I'm not a professional. People must not come at me and be like, guys, this is talking rubbish. But I'm saying, I think we loosely use depression as a word these days.
Mm.
And more especially amongst black people. Because I'm like, wait a minute.
We haven't got the land yet.
Exactly.
Don't throw that asset quickly. Give us the land and the money. Check us in 10 years if we are balancing. Now, you're talking to people who do not have trust funds that they are depressed. Yeah. No, we are not depressed. We are broke, bruh. Oh, we are not depressed. We are sometimes within the system that we can't control because people pass up big racism. Yeah. We still have to explain to Gareth what is was wrong with that statement.
Hey.
Yet people are easy to fight these little liberties. That's a problem I have. Mm. I think we have been consumed by something that doesn't grow us as human beings. We've been consumed by sex mostly. And it's not like...
But
you can't live by it alone. Mm. You know what I mean?
But about Bakhtala, they were having a lot of
sex. Yes, but
I mean,
also
your dad had 8 kids.
8 kids, definitely. You but after 8 kids, he played a guitar. He used to weld. He read. He wrote books. He wasn't having sex with every other 5 women. So he made 8 kids with my mother.
Wow.
Sex has got nothing to do with... it's being sex. The thing is, we are over sexualized in whatever way you look at it. Yeah. People are easy these days to say, "Hi, my name is so and so. I'm bisexual. I'm straight. I'm hypersexual. Who gives a shit? Yes. Do you have metric?" Like, sometimes that's not the first thing that you start with and say, "This is who I am." How are you defining yourself with one activity of your life? I'm a fat person. I'm not a plus anything. I'm still less because one day I might lose weight.
Thank
I'm
you.
Still failing now, but I might lose weight.
This is Okala one day.
This is Okala one day. So I cannot define myself with such limiting things. And for black people, it's such a dangerous thing for them to do. When looting was happening, I realized that, now all this time for 27 years, you were busy identifying with sexuality. Now, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it. All I'm saying is it can never be the priority in a hierarchy of our needs. Do I make sense?
Yes, hierarchy of needs.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when the looting was happening, they didn't say, "Oh, the bisexuals can buy bread." It was black people. Now race came back. Hello, wake up. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
I feel like as black people, we are being pushed to these legal liberties that white people want us to hold on to while they're doing other shit. Hey, bruh, economy comes first. Fine, you can fuck 2 women, you can fuck 2 men. Who gives a shit? Where are you fucking because you don't have a land?
I'll give you a bottle, no problem. So what you're saying, I love what she's saying.
Hey man, she's dropping change.
So what she's saying is that, okay, especially like if you look at Twitter, there's woke people that are fighting to be woke, right?
Yeah.
They know everything, right? We've got feminists up in there. We've got the LGBTQI community.
Yes.
So what you are saying is that all of that is not relevant.
It's not a priority.
It's not a priority right
now. I had, in actual facts, last week I had 2 conversations with white women about this. And what aches me is that, and I wrote it on Twitter when that Gareth thing happened, that for me, racism is the major issue in our society.
Yes.
Beyond gender, yes, I said so. I know we are in gender-based violence situation, 100%. But still beyond gender. Because even with those gender-based violence issues, we have dynamics that makes it trace, when you trace it back, it all traces back to racism.
Yeah, so
do I make
sense? In the country are broken
every
because
little
of
thing,
racism.
Every little thing. I read this book by Dalimpofu's son.
Walsh,
women,
what's
women,
his name?
No. Well. The new apartheid.
Yes.
And when you breaks it down how the constitution is, the fact that our constitution is not written that racism itself is you are go to jail.
Like,
it must be stipulated. Mm. No, it's not as stipulated. It's like everyone must be equal. Who was oppressing who?
Mm.
I think the race issues are just ignored because black people have been comfortable with poverty. And when I had that argument with those white women, I had to make them understand. For me, the reason why race comes first, because as much as women in general has been oppressed, but you don't see a group of white women in sheikhs. Because
if they're there, it's a tourist.
All thing. I'm saying, when Fairwood was killing people, he was still getting a blowjob from who? Is my question. No, let's not. Because what is happening now, all of a sudden, white women have got one fight. Salar.
That's it.
I have so many fights. So there's no way you are equating my fights, which are DNA inherited and traumas that are constant, even on the current.
Yeah.
You are the same like me. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. As black people, where's our accountability? Because we've been free for how many years now? 20?
Yeah, accountability is just...
Nah, more than 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 27 years. But our accountability is to... Let's not be hung up about things. Let's be wise enough to understand what is this thing that we are hung up on. Is it exact? Are we still on a track? When we fought for the freedom, when we read the history books, when we understand what was it all for, have we got what we said we wanted?
But here's the thing.
If then you are still fighting for something that does not get you that, know that you're losing.
Mm.
And it's clear, economy is power.
True.
And you, without power, you cannot fight racism. But black people in general, and I would like to believe in the world and in diaspora, we are really hung up on shit that does not make any sense.
But the black people are in power now.
Yeah, but they're
the
in power.
Going backwards.
The thing is, it's not even about them being, it's exactly. You got power, political power, not economic power.
Whew.
So yes, you can say, so come what, but it didn't, there's a generation in this country that someone who's 35, we've got our freedom at 27 years, that someone who's 30 who's never seen a day of a job or anything, any opportunity. That person is exactly the same years with our democracy.
Mm.
So what are we saying?
Mm.
But then we are quick to 90%, 80% talk about who's sleeping with who, who's showing up. I mean, come on. How much calm do we need for us to get over this and face other shit? Really?
There's more to life.
Come on. And also, when you're having sex with some people, you're like, oh. Because sex is not a quantity thing. It's a quality thing.
Yeah.
I love sex.
Yeah.
I'm very kinky and sexual.
Bakucha.
When I, it's just that I don't open my doors, I'm not a taxi rank. But when I open, oh.
Zakat.
Zakat.
Hey, cool. Let's start from the beginning, man.
Yeah.
I want to find out, how was it growing up in a house full of 8 kids, bro?
It was great, amazing, stunning. I didn't know it then, but also I think the most important person in our upbringing is our dad.
Did he forget your name sometimes?
Not really, no.
Oh,
was, actual fact, he was too smart. I only feel sorry about my dad because... I believe he was born ahead of his time.
Okay.
And he was born in a space that didn't give him that much opportunities.
Oh,
but he was such
yes.
a fucking genius.
Yeah, I mean, he played guitar.
I'm telling you.
Welder.
I woke up every Sunday.
And a thriller.
Every Sunday. And he wrote books. And he wrote poems. Wow. And he wrote music. Whoa. Every Sunday at home.
Where are those books?
Wow.
Well, some of it is with my family and my siblings and my sisters. I brought some of them.
You can release them and make them like yours.
Well, working on something.
Beautiful.
But, every Sunday, my upbringing, we had jazz in my yard. Wow. Literally. Because my dad had a band and they rehearsed every Sunday, though they were not booked. But it was nice. So I grew up with a very, very rich musical taste.
Yeah.
And who got the biggest piece during dinner?
Of course me.
Was it you?
No, I'm the only big one in my house, literally. Not really like that, but we grew up different. One, it was in rural areas and we were very, secured.
Off. Yeah, well
not
off.
Well off.
Middle
we,
class.
We were enough.
Enough, okay.
The irritating thing was that between my mom and my dad, people that know us in my hometown, they say, if you guys grew up in America, you could be Jacksons. Because my mom and my dad were that kind of a power couple. They complimented each other so much and they created their life
nice.
in rural areas and they had their rules and their way of doing things. So we grew up sheltered but also cultured. Mm. It was sheltered,
you want
cultured.
The same drink?
Oh,
you
yeah.
The same drink. Ofuna man's munch.
Oh yeah, ungenzele lento yakho
thula. Yeah.
Ufuna ukuyizwa
ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi
mhlambe ngizogcina ngihamba no cameraman.
Baroka ba.
Hey, yabona laba. Hey, amaqola grisiwa.
Can you just get some ice?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very interesting environment at home.
Yeah, Mesh. Just put some ice in here and some dash. We'll make some grandeur. Right. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Thank you. So my upbringing was very interesting. I have very, very interesting siblings. My dad didn't make us go to church, in actual fact.
Yeah.
Drops wisdom now and again when he feels like Seni Abizwa. You're like, what the fuck? Wow.
Who was the funniest in the household? Have you always been funny?
I think yes, though, because there was just way too many of us in my family. Well, not way too many, there's way many, many of us. Thank you. Okay, we're going to close the branding. Until you pay us.
Danko.
Danko.
Otherwise,
you've been in the game for long, eh?
So, his character afforded us, and I think God gave him such a blessing. Out of eight of us, all of us took something from him.
Wow.
That's how dynamic he was. And I have a sister who's a doctor, a sister who's a designer.
Wow. Are you the black sheep? Because you're a comedian.
This is my sister's shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she dresses me up.
Are you the black sheep? Because you're a comedian.
Kind of, but no, there is another real black sheep. Hey.
Who didn't you get along with in your siblings?
We literally had to get along.
Serious?
My dad doesn't play that game, bro. Yeah. After, like, we were made. I slept with my sister, the one that designed my shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
We literally slept together since we were young.
Yeah.
We shared a bed, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we were sheltered and we were transported from school to, you know.
And then how would you guys travel? Siblings. Let's say you're going to the mall.
What mall? everything was bought at the wholesale.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
There's many of us. Yeah, when they buy, because if my mom was a nurse and my dad started the tuck shop, so they had shops, those township tuck shops.
Yeah.
So whenever they did their orders, they would also buy stuff for home.
Yeah.
So there would be like three bicycles for the 12 and the 13 you'll share. And then, you know, six balls, six tennis balls. My dad was like, everything is there. Yeah. So play.
So even on Christmas clothes?
In actual fact, because my mom's family, they were 11.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of cousins.
Yeah.
But there's no way that eight of us, we could go and visit Granny's. There's too many of us. Mm, yeah. So they will come to us.
The
so
11 of them.
The other cousins. Because we couldn't go to Granny's house. There's eight of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My mom was like, damn, 3 days is enough, mama. So then the cousins will come to us.
Yeah.
So we've had such an adventurous Christmas and festive because all the time we're visited by our cousins.
Yeah, man, and it's nice having a big family, dog.
Yeah, no, real.
There's always so much to do.
I can imagine.
You can never get bored, bro.
So yeah. I guess the character was built from there.
Yeah. So why did you move when you were 12 years old during the NCIP violence?
Yeah, we moved. My, you remember those days, Nkata will come into the home and ask.
How bad was it?
It's bad, very bad. Like literally, it was bad in such a way that, remember those days, they used to say the people that stay in hostels, because they didn't have a training camp. So they would build those guns, you know, crush.
Mm.
And then they would stay there at a hostel, and the top of the hill, looking at the people walking down the street. Damn, Temp. I'm shy, I'm 20.
Oh,
wow.
You lie.
Oh, I'm back. I know that it's a very like horrible game.
Red light, green light.
We used to hear such stories when you're growing up. Though it's the insanity of it is what is funny. I know I'm laughing alone. I'm like, ooh, what a horrible motherfucker.
So Nkata would come home and do what?
And then they will ask for, well, either way, it could be Nkata. This one time, it was just a mess. So Nkata then, usually they will ask younger men, young boys to come and join. Because then if you're not joining, that means you are NC.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So there's four boys in my house. My mom hid three of my brothers on a long drop toilet, stump cock on the side. They had to face the shit or face the bullets.
Saul, is that you?
Hey, bro. I'm in there.
And then my other brother ran, and they ran after him. Luckily, he's a runner.
Mm.
Even till today, Shaba mo 40 kilometers. Even Saul is full. So then he ran. Then he hid in the streets, blah, 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 in the trees. It was a long thing. We thought we had lost him, and then He showed up the next day. I think he slept somewhere in the trees. It was dangerous, whatever. So.
And they never did anything to you because you were.
No,
lady.
Because we were women. Yeah. And then that's how we moved. I know that literally after that incident, I can't remember, but I think probably within a month we'd moved.
Mm.
Moved.
It's crazy, man. You're talking about something so sad, but with a smile.
You know? No, but this is when you know you've healed.
When
you tell the story.
Yeah, with a smile. You've healed.
Yeah. It's not really a smile as such. Since I'm beautiful too, but
yeah, cares. All right, so we come to Joburg. Tembisa, you stay in Tembisa?
No. I stayed in Guatemala with my brothers in 2001. But they, Joburg, failed me. I partied in Yeovil with Brenda Fass and Patricia Majalisa. Patricia Majalisa. A friend of mine, Nonce, who was so wild. I think we always call her Vinola Mashego because she literally was that wild.
Yes.
For some reason, I don't know how she befriended Brenda Fassi. I met the saloon. I'm here to party with her. The next thing I know, Sigui Chipka Brenda Ninja.
And she's big that time.
Yeah, and I was like, damn, really? But she was such, like, I think I was afforded to meet iconic artists, and they were so human to me. Mm. Like, I had met Umamu Busimhlongo.
Oh, wow.
With my sisters, and she saw us smoking outside. And she came to us and she smoked with us. And literally, we just watched Baba Miles' concert.
Wow.
At Playhouse. Then it was still Africa, whatever, jazz concert things. So the way she embraced us and she spoke to us and she wanted to know about us. Meanwhile, we knew it. She was Busimhlongo. I was like,
yeah,
Busimhlongo. You know,
talking to me.
Yeah. So I think I've learned a lot with meeting greater people, treating me like really, I've seen them in human state. Like, I met Dave Chappelle and he had a great conversation with me.
Whoa!
Like, proper conversation. No, like, that thing
Dave
was...
Dave Chappelle!
Where do you meet Dave?
I was in LA and I went to watch Jeff Ross at the Comedy Store.
Jeff Ross is funny.
And I'd worked with Jeff Ross at the Comedy Central thing.
For real?
Yeah.
The roast?
Yeah, at the roast.
Yeah, he's a roaster, one-liner.
Yeah.
King.
Yeah. Dylan Oliphant killed me the roast. Like, he annihilated me. He said when I step on the scale, it was still Zuma's era. He said when I step on the scale says it's 1,500,000.
Oh,
the crowd was...
Dylan is cool.
I only redeemed myself with my set. My set was fire.
Mm.
Oh no, I was fire. Jeff Ross came on stage and be like, guys, I know this is a roast, but
damn,
this girl just headlined.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Hannibal Harris went there and it was such a crazy thing.
And was it so English or West Zulu?
No, here in English. When there was a Comedy Central Festival here.
Okay, yeah.
So then I went to LA. Then I went to see him on stage because I was staying opposite the Comedy Store.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, wow, there's
Jeff Ross.
Let me just cross the road and go there.
Yeah.
Then when I went there, we met her, and then he was like, hey, Dave, this is Celeste.
Whoa.
And the coolest thing is, he now started talking about me to him. Like, he's just such a killer. I went to Joburg, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow. I'm sitting here listening to Jeff Ross telling Dave Chappelle about me.
Oh.
It was insane. And his brother was here and he started talking, and then the other comedian, Jessica, who was also in South Africa doing some club gigs around, we met in LA and she was like, oh, yeah, awesome. Like, so everyone else was talking to Dave Chappelle about me, and okay, everything, like, everyone has just started disappearing. I don't know how I ended up with him, and he told me that he's coming to South Africa. Before he came to South Africa, where he was when he was away, we had such a great, I was like, did he realize what he just told me? He told me such personal stories.
And then how was it when he came to your room? What did you guys get up to?
No, there was no room involved. I separate those things.
Because
my business never goes anything beyond the passage.
Yeah,
here, good reception.
It was in Cape Town when I was in SA.
When? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say that. I don't know. Well, he told me that he was in Durban. I know that most people think he was, I don't know, Durban
Cape
is
Town,
king or Pine Town situation.
Wow.
Some, there are stories like that. But also, when he's very, very, like, clued up about KZN and South Africa.
And he loved it, ne?
Oh, yeah. And he eventually, you know, he asked for a cigarette from my sister. We started talking. I'm telling you, it was insane. Literally, when he went, the bouncer came to us. He's like, where are you guys from?
Yeah.
we just saw you and Dave, like, oh yeah, I don't know.
I'm Davisto,
you know, so I've had to meet great people. I think that also keeps me in check all the time.
Wow.
The fact that I'm always lucky to meet the iconic people I worked with, Hugh Masekela, it was amazing. I met her at the comics, the Commonwealth Games. I didn't even know, and I was coming from France for my sister, and then I was going to go to the Commonwealth, and he was performing in France at Marseille, where my sister stays, for jazz.
Yeah.
So I went to see that, and when I told him about it on stage, literally the whole 2 days, he was amazing. He was amazing. Tell me stories about the Still Grazing book. Like, he was amazing. You know when someone's like, you don't have to tell me this story. You don't have to open up this much. I know you met so many people, but and I'm very lucky.
And Brenda Fassie, because I've heard crazy stories about Brenda.
Oh, no, was crazy.
She was lit.
This one time, Yeovil.
Yeah.
What is that place? There's a... There's a saloon, and then it's an open area situation.
Yeah.
So people will just do like plug a speaker and play random musicians, young artists. Brenda Fassie started taking the heads. You know the heads people are putting money on.
Yes.
Took this head. Took the mic, started singing for this guy to make money.
Wow!
It's like, yeah. Everyone else was putting money from the gate.
Yeah.
No, when I saw her do that, I was like, damn. Like, I'm telling you, I think throughout my life, before I even do comedy, I've always been lucky to meet such an amazing characters. And I've always taken a lesson from those people because I'm like, definitely you are great. And you know very well what you're doing. That's why I'm not a fan of oh my god, there's too many of this. I don't know. I don't even wear sunglasses. Me, hey, if you want to talk, we're going to talk. Like, if I feel like it's going to be a problem for me, I don't go there.
I was shocked to wear makeup. I'm like, oh,
see, I know makeup. I know. And it's funny because I can't even bring, you know, witnesses that I am my body count for you to see what kind of man I date. You guys are, I know, I'm the most underrated. I just chill.
Let's talk about your jobs before comedy, man. Because you worked at a call center.
Damn.
You wanted to be a cop. You wanted to be a social worker. You wanted to be a nurse as well.
Yeah. I think subconsciously I've always been about social stuff.
Yeah.
Because when I realized I couldn't be a nurse because I'm scared of the blood, I couldn't be a cop because I don't like guns. You know, social working, and as soon as I understood, because my mom was a nurse, I sort of understood that, damn, you always hear sad stories. I'm too sensitive for that. So I thought I was going to do political science or drama at school. And then when I went for my auditions in November, I didn't know that they had auditions, practical auditions for drama.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing entertainment technology. So I used to do crew work. That's why I'm very, very fond
of the crew.
I used to rig stages, lighting,
sound. Wow, everything.
Yeah. Like if you see there's a chipping on my nail, I bulawa I crane. Not for real.
Yeah.
Literally, I worked at the Luther Van Ross concert in Durban.
Wow.
Benning Spear.
Sure.
Whoa.
And when Michael Jackson was there. I'm 42.
Wow. That's crazy. It's like a movie.
Yeah, I started there. Go trust Tuna. So
you never got to meet Michael Jackson, Luther Van Ross.
Well, I never met them. I was working there.
Yeah.
The only person I met was Benning Spear.
Benning Spear.
And I was doing Follow Sport.
Okay.
So I had to meet him for the cue reader, blah, blah, blah. They were telling me. So I wanted to know the moves. I used to do Follow Sport, Follow Sport for the...
What's Follow Spot?
We know the artist when it's a huge concert, and then there's this one light that follows the artist.
While they're performing.
Yeah. I used to do that.
We need one of those, man.
That's the whole spot. You remember when you have those old school vibes? Like the backing singers have their own lights.
Yes.
But the star has a round
thing. Yeah, Mesh, I need a spotlight now, bro. Must always follow me, right?
So I did that a lot, and I did radio sound.
Yeah.
And I did lighting. But I did a lot of stage building and lighting. But then after the whole Grease looking bad, striking the set, people will finish having a party. It's crazy how I've come all 360. Because my first year, I worked at the Grahamson for 3 years. So I was a stage manager there. So I did a lot of theater back work.
Sure. So no one can fool you. You know everything.
I do my lights for my shows.
You do your lights?
I tell them what I want.
Wow. What? Can't you pay someone for that? You just want to do
No, like, obviously you hire the theatre and blah, blah, blah. Oh, I can't do it now. I'm a star. But I'll tell them what to do.
I mean, why did you leave the call centre job?
I left the call centre actually because of comedy. Comedy. Because of comedy, yes. One thing about me, I've dropped out twice.
Okay. Phase. Oh, school?
Tertiary. Because even entertainment technology, lighting and sound, I did that. And then on the third year, I was supposed to do my in-service training. I got the job at the call center. Nice. So I started doing call center work. And after that, I left. I thought I'm coming to Joburg to sort my life.
Yeah.
2001, I fucked around. I drank. Mm. I did all sorts of things that has nothing to do with trying to find your way. Until there was 9/11. You remember the 9/11?
Yeah, 9/11.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw people jumping the windows. I was like, fuck, life is too short. What the fuck have I done with my life? Mm. You know, and I went back home and I started running. I started looking after myself. Thinking, what is it that I need to do? And in 2004, I went back to do public relations.
Okay.
A tertiary again. So I did public relations for 2 years. Third year at public relations, I got a job again.
Oh,
so
nice.
I need to pay my own way now.
Yeah.
Wow. So I started working at Exclusive Books. I was a bookseller.
Sure.
And
Do you know half of our audience don't know what that is? Because it goes down. Like yes.
And I was a manager at CNA. I was a horrible manager.
Whoa.
I don't like be telling people. Like, I hate oppression so much that I think even the structure of saying there's someone you must wake up and look after. Like, what the fuck is this? Mm. Do what you need to do. Me, I was telling my security, like, hey, brah, are you hungry? Don't sleep here. Sleep back. Tell me when you are good. Like, I don't have time. This is not my thing.
Come, the ones that say, I need to see the manager.
Oh, no, that one, shut it down. Yeah. I'm good with that. I think I was born to just fight racism.
Yeah.
Don't start with me. I'm that one.
Yeah.
I'm that one. Even at the queue, you know, those Karens are coming to scream. I ask you, who told you have a right to even say any shit? Do you know me? Let's start there. Mm. Like, I'm not going to be responding to bullshit. No. There's one thing I don't tolerate. That's the one. Because I think.
So Saul is like that. He's always saying,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
I hate that.
I'm not scared
of
white people.
Black people, when they speak about white people, they feel sorry for white people. Me, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't trust them. The history told me not to trust. If I'm trusting, I'm stupid. That's the reason why most people are in the gender-based violence situation. If you are in a violent situation, someone shows you violence, believe that.
Yeah,
and also because, this is the thing. I think as black people, we know what we suffer from and we're trying to fix that. These are the things that we know we should be healing.
Mm-hmm.
But if we say we're going to be human with white people, they must know what they need to fix, because we are sitting with generations of white people that think they have nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they have a lot to search and find out. Why are you coming from so much hate?
Mm-hmm.
As human beings, that has nothing to do with white black people.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to say what I feel, I should never, it's not my response. It's not responsible of any black person to feel sorry for a white person in any way. Express yourself how you want to express yourself. Don't be hiding behind depression. Meanwhile, you needed to tell Mr. Smith, fuck off.
I feel sorry for the next white person I'm going to see.
You know what I mean?
Azokala.
I'm not going to be going home and now I need to go and see a therapist and slaughter. Meanwhile, I needed to tell Karen, motherfucking bitch, you do know me. Sometimes, like, come on.
Thank you.
Let's not fuck around here. Because things are not happening for us because of that. We have given so much leeway and excuses of why I hate poverty. The reason why I date the way I date, because my major thing, I like black men. I love them. But I will never date a black man that doesn't understand that we need to break a generational curse.
Mm.
Let's stop right there. Because I'm not the one to be telling you how to calculate.
Mm.
If you are still confused by the vagina, we have a long way to go. I'm not about to give birth to kids that are going to say, hey, it's Mr. Smith today. No, my kids are not going to say that shit.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. No, why? Yeah. Shame. Yes. That's why I can never do the internship, because I could never stomach kids. I think I was at some point in my past life, there's something that white people did to me that I've never forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's my traumatic DNA.
PTSD, yeah.
Doesn't that affect your work though? Because there's so many like white people that in the
which is why I love comedy.
Production companies.
Which is why I love comedy. Which is why I love comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's my work. And it's my view. And it's what I told those other ladies when I had a conversation with them. I said, the thing is though, I'm still performing as that black woman, black dark skinned woman that must face all this bullshit.
Angry black woman.
And I'm not an angry, no.
Yes.
You see, you already put the words angry black woman when it's a black man, toxic masculinity. No, let's stop with these words, because okay, if there's a toxic masculinity, there's a toxic femininity. There's a bitch you don't like that you say, well, now, even in your relationship, you are the wrong one. Because you see, relationships are all about human beings. I'm not saying men are not fucked up, but I'm saying we cannot then let women who are fucked up to go or slide and unseen.
They get away with a lot.
They get away with murder.
A lot. Exactly. Murder.
So I'm not an angry black woman. I'm a black woman who's not taking a no. That's all. But I'm not angry.
Yes.
Because everyone else is not really, and by everyone else I'm saying the whole world, they're not familiar with a happy black woman. You true. Just do not. I'm a happy black woman.
True.
And you, if now I was dating Ben 10 and Ben 10 is abusing me and the blue eye, this is a story you see that fits me. But no, I like myself. When I tell people that I'm happy, people always confuse that with, what do you mean? Do you need a man? No, I'm happy. Oh. I mean, even the man that comes must understand there's happiness here.
Ooh-wee.
We ain't playing that game where I'm happy. I decided. I am going to be, because I've worked for it. And because the thing is, we are trapped. Every time a black woman does anything progressive, there's a reason why not. She shouldn't celebrate too much. You are married. Hi, maybe they're going to cheat on you. You have kids. Hi, maybe you want dot. You don't have kids like me. I don't have kids. I'm not married. People are still worried about my life. Bruh, I don't have dads.
What the fuck do you talk about?
Like, what do you mean? I'm not depressed. Because there are certain things that I've achieved that I think most people in the world are yet to understand, to crux. Do you know how beautiful it is to discover yourself over and over with no inhibitions and disturbance? I know myself. I know myself so well.
Yeah.
You know, when you date me, it's easy most. Easy. I know myself. We're not going to go through things where I'm still finding myself. I think the society just need to be really, really grapple with an idea that the next generation of black women are going to be happy, because we are. I'm not taking that whole angry black woman. Serena was angry. Caster Semenya was angry. Nina Simone was angry. Winnie Madera was angry. But no one is talking about what happened to them.
Yes.
And we're all raised by them. All of us here.
So all I'm saying is I'm sort of like Winnie Madera.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't like that whole Mbogoto situation. That's I don't like that. I don't want to subscribe to that. I don't like that whole notion, because also I think that's what makes us black women not receive love so much. There's so much that we've taken on, and we are Mbogotos. We are strong single mothers. We are those things are rubbish.
It's archaic. It's
also no, and also. It's not how God made us to be. We need to be soft.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
So me, I'm not in Pogot.
You guys are supernatural, man.
No. I need things. Let me taste this gin.
Why do you taste the gin?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Cranger. Lovely.
A black woman raised me so I can make it nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
No, they raised all of us.
Yeah.
Including the white people.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes neglecting their own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, tell me about the first time you see Kings of Comedy.
Damn. A friend of mine, Pam.
Yeah.
Pamela Lungan had a boyfriend. And the boyfriend borrowed us DVDs, and the DVDs had Kings of Comedy, Queens of Comedy, Richard Pryor. Great comedians, yeah. I watched this thing, I'm like, damn, this thing is nice. I do this at the parties and I make people laugh. Maybe if I dress up.
I can make some money.
You know? And it so happens that a couple of months after I see the poster in Durban somewhere, they had a comedy show.
Yeah.
Sekumalo is playing on Mkoka now.
Yeah.
He's the uncle. If you watch Mkoka, the thing that plays on Sunday now,
yeah,
he plays there. Yeah. He was doing drama in school. So I looked for him and I called him, and he's like, oh, I was looking for you.
Yeah.
This show had passed, but we're looking for another show. So he booked me at church, paid me. So wow. That's why I always tell all comedians I was booked and paid.
Yeah.
Even in my first 5 minutes.
So, no free gigs.
Yeah, no free gigs, yeah. So that, it happens that the guy that was doing 99% comedy shows then, which was Monabisi Grootboom, saw me there and called me. I was still working at the call center. Mm. And called me and said, hey, Celeste, yeah, I saw you and chat, da, da, da. I didn't know what was going on. And said to me, I don't have much money, you see. I have maybe 1,000. And I said, what? So maybe like, hey, I can do 3,000. I said, yes.
Yeah, I'm there.
Never even got it. I was like, okay, 3,000. Hey. So that's how I started.
Do you remember your first joke though?
My first joke, because it was a church, I couldn't talk about anything.
Oh,
so
yes.
I ended up talking about myself and how we grew up. My upbringing helped me.
Okay.
I spoke about little things like that. Like
and
how
then
I
landed.
Yeah, I was landed. It was safe enough for church setting. And it spoke about family. A lot, so
you
I
think
even
you
got
can,
standing ovation.
When do you get that?
So you at think 2009.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to do it in 2008, but I was still working at the bookshop. And the funny thing happened, I had never been overseas ever.
Yeah.
And I read the book It Pray Love.
Okay.
And my sister had already was staying in France at the time.
Yeah, she was in Paris.
And she really just booked me a flight and sent. Literally, I finished the book today.
Mm.
2 days.
Mm.
I caught a miss. I was like, damn, this manifestation thing works.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then he booked me a flight to go to France, so I couldn't do.
In
so you think you're funny, so you think you, when Spiso won,
yeah.
It's because I was away. And then I was like, definitely the next year I'm doing this. So I remember I woke up at 5:30 the following year.
Yeah.
I was number 3 on the queue to
were
do
there
so,
a lot of females?
To audition. The way I think, you know, sometimes I feel like there is a, in your journey, there's a moment where you are in transit when you don't really understand what's going on.
Yes,
when you've surrendered to your journey.
Yeah.
I was at that space. Because all I remember is that I woke up at 5, I never told anyone.
Mm.
I took a taxi, went to Bed Center, stood there, had my book. I was reading my book, had my scarf on. You are number 3. I was number 3, sat there, hello. Like I was in my zone so much.
Mm.
So when I did that audition, I didn't even know whether I passed. Then they called me the next day. Say, hey, blonde girl. Actually, that's how I kept this hairstyle.
Oh.
Because when I did the auditions, I was going to go to a wedding. And when I used to shave my head bald all the time.
Yeah.
So we were going to the wedding and my cousin was like, ah, God, you always bands. I'm always bald.
Guys,
try
what are you talking
something.
About that's more important than this? Please share. Yeah, please share. Can you give them a mic?
Yeah.
Because clearly it's more important than this.
I need a 6ix9ine. Here's the mic.
It's more important than Celeste's big
You guys
brain.
Are crazy. I'm like, okay.
All right, cool. Yes.
So yeah, where was I?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Mm. Anyway, what was I talking about?
Big break.
Yeah. So
his,
yeah. So the hair thing. So I did the blonde thing for the wedding and it happened that I had to do the auditions.
Yeah.
So when I came up, when they called me for the auditions, they called me blonde girl. And I was like, damn, I must keep this thing because we're going for a competition.
So
I kept it.
Yeah.
And then after the competition, David Gow was booking me on a show in Durban. And then I rocked up 2 weeks before the show with my chiscope and was like, what are you doing?
You can't
be on TV for this month and then all of a sudden, there's no way, don't change that hairstyle. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I've never been attached to her, so it never fazed me. So
okay, let's fast forward. How do you get the Essie Baya gig now?
That one was funny.
Yeah.
Actually, that's another 360 because the same guy that got me the first gig in comedy is the same guy that got me Spy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I
Look
was
at
in
God.
Debt. Listen, I moved here for comedy 2012. I didn't know Spy then. I literally was moving for comedy. For me, I was like, I think I'm done with Durban now. Let me just see.
St. Grant.
I've worked with all of them. All the guys coming from Durban, they come and I'm always on the best lineup with them. So clearly I can rock Joburg as much as I rock Durban. So I decided, no, let me come this side. So that year I was here, but I was booked in Durban for a weekend. And I remember, I think I stayed in Durban for 5 days or something like that. I was partying, having a good time. It was a Saturday. I was drunk, actually.
Hey, life party. Yeah, you're a rock
call,
star.
Got the call. Hey, please make sure you go to the auditions. Because I respect stay so much.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
Shit. Okay, I wake up 8 o'clock. Fuck. But you know when you're like, yo, I wonder if I'll wake up.
So because
I'm going to yeah, sure. So I woke up,
had my flip-flops on. When I have babalas, I wear huge clothes. Like, I want those long dresses, flowy dresses. Because
yeah.
You don't see. Like, I love them because they are very bright. You can just rock up and people think, oh, wow, you look nice. Meanwhile, you are heavy on hangovers.
Yeah.
So I wore that. I put my scarf on the bag. Went to the auditions purely because Tay told me so, really. I was really, like, if it was no tape, maybe I was going to skip that audition. Because I was like, audition, do I even want to act? I knew I wanted to act, but I was like, I'm doing good in comedy. Why? Okay, let's go anyway. So I went there. Felix, the comedian that is in Durban, who's a Nkakasi presenter now, was there. We both had serious hangover. We're like, let's start here. Because we saw so many real good thespians, real good actors that I know from tech. Yeah. No, bruh. It was Begim Kwanes and the, you know, the ones that you are my solos. Yes. I'm on a little shy monologue, you know. The playhouse. So I'm like, I'm going to be the first one. And then they made me do so many things. Also, they said me, they gave me the scenario, so you're gonna be a wife, blah blah blah. I literally took the scarf that I had on my back, I wrapped it as I tied it in my head. I did the thing, and then they kept on giving me different things.
And you're hanging.
Different things. I'm hanging. I'm like, I'm looking at Angus going, this white man, honestly. Why they bring white people here? Because seemingly he's making me repeat shit that I think we should be over with by now.
And if it was a black guy, you just want to say
that. I saw Kutluano was there. Kutluano Ditsele was there. Was a casting director as well. So finished, and they asked me, so what are you doing? I'm a comedian. They were like, really, comedian? Yeah. Do you have a picture? No. Do you have an agent? No. That's how I got to buy. Took a picture. I forgot about it until they called me around November.
Sure.
They said, what's your name? I said, Celeste. Are you staying in Durban or in Joburg? I said, I'm moving to Joburg. I said, okay, great. I was like, okay, cool. That was a call. I'm like, these people, because I'm waiting for a second call.
Yeah.
And then January, I'm there going, wow, it was nice doing 2012 in Joburg while I didn't have any salary. Now it's the new year. How the fuck am I going to pay these bills?
Yeah.
Let me smoke some joint and think.
Yeah.
While I was high, the phone rings. You are higher.
You are higher.
Can
higher.
You come to the studio? I'm like, fuck, I'm too high. I was like, I'm busy right now.
Let me check my schedule.
I asked for the following day because I'm like, there's no way. You know, the wake up and bake where you got the good one. Snake man looks shy and a little tired. I'm tired. Who's on phone? IT. On Bambi.
But that would have been dope. Imagine the first scene, high as a motherfucker.
Then I went the next day that they told me that I'm higher, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do this show. And that was it. But then I realized when I got the email. I think that's when it dawned on me. Throughout the whole process,
it was just
another thing that might happen, might not happen. So when I saw the cast members,
hey, this is real.
I was like, shit. Are they serious?
Yeah.
And I'm a lead in this thing.
Yes, you're
so I was like, okay, no. I literally went on set the day that I was supposed to go and do my costumes. I had to go and really introduce myself because I felt like I do deserve it, but according to them, I don't deserve it. And I will understand if anyone sees me and say, how the hell do you put her against those people?
And you killed it.
I must say, Ismaya was my varsity of everything.
Wow.
Being an entertainer, being a thespian itself, being an actress. And that's another thing. Some comedians were like, why are you staying in a soapy for so long?
Yeah.
Which is what Trevor Noah was asking me. Like, how are you going to do both? Because comedy and soapies really doesn't mix. With
and it's
comedy.
Demanding.
Yeah. Mm. But then I was like, I know. But also my view was very, I had a local view of what I can achieve when it comes to comedy. I was like, I have a show on TV, then I can fill up my, you know, venues.
Schedule,
But then I realize now, which is why it helped me not to be on this map for this long, that how much work I still need to do in terms of the comedy space. Because also, it's importable as a craft.
Yeah.
So one cannot limit themselves.
Speaking about actors, man, how did you feel when, who's the actor, man? Michael K. Williams passed away. Because you met him.
It was sad because I met him. Like, really, yeah, it was. Mm. It was such a shock because it was such an, one of those people again. Like, he was amazing. Even when you see the pictures I posted, he hugged me as if he knows me. Like, wow. I met him through Cedra Smith, Tasha Smith's sister, because Palance was here with the podcast, so we ended up, you know, meeting in 2020 before the COVID.
Yeah.
I had my movie Looking for Love was showing in Canada. So I had to go to Canada, then I went to New York, then LA.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, from the guy from The Wire.
The Wire,
The Wire guy.
Brilliant guy.
Many movies. Like,
phenomenal.
It was one of those sad things. And, man, sometimes I think artists are too spiritual. Because most often when you look back at their lives, you are like, as sad as it is, you feel like this person lived a full life.
Oh, yes.
Though they didn't really, because he was young, not that he deserved, it's not like he was an old person it is time now, no. Yeah. But the way most great artists, I would say, live their lives, it's in fullness in such a way that I think even if they leave us young, we feel like we got all that they could or all that they had to give us.
What do you feel
like
about
Tupac,
for example. What do you feel about people that say comedians are the most hurt people, that's why they need to make other people laugh?
I'm twofold about that.
Yeah, because you look happy, you don't look hurt at all.
Yeah, you know why? I'm not saying I'm denying that there are people who are sad, but I think there's always a push into finding why. Because, I mean, we talk about everything. Mm. Even in my life, even if there's death. Mm. When my brother passed away, who was very close to me, my oldest brother, Ntobeko, after the funeral, I found myself making people laugh. They were sitting around me, literally cracking up. My mom had to come out the door and be like, I knew I was a bit tipsy, but that's what he liked about me. Mm. And we...
At the funeral?
After the funeral.
Sure.
I will never tell you, and it was such an intimate family stuff. Everyone was cracking up. So I'm saying we have an ability to understand, because jokes don't create them. Mm. You see them in a normal situation.
You bring them out.
You bring them out. You highlight the funny. That's how you find the punchlines. Mm. The comedy is made up of rhythmic storytelling in brief, I would say, deliberate words, enriching the punchline. Mm. The whole point for me is not for me to highlight really. When I'm on stage, you will hear me talk about racism, politics, everything else. But on stage, my job is to make you laugh. At the point of that, there must be humor. Mm. There must be the hilarious point. And the hilarious point is always the truth.
Did someone school you these things, or you just learned them?
I did comedy for real for so many years. I don't even have most stuff online. You see me on stage. That's what I prefer.
And I love what she said before we started the interview. She's like,
I'm not even on YouTube.
You'll never find. Well, you are now, but anyway.
Well, yeah, now I am. Well, I have the. I'm going to do the podcast with Tenjue because we started doing African cherries. Yeah. We did one skit there.
Yeah.
But for me, I think because stand-up, there's something about stand-up and immediate stuff. And that's why these times are very difficult for comedians, because people are quick with their phones, and phones really change the narrative.
Yeah.
You're just going to pick up this one clarity. That's why even Dave Chappelle was like, go watch my stuff.
The whole thing.
Then we're going to come and talk. Mm. Because the whole
Not
thing.
Clips.
When you're watching clips, it's like it's pointless. Mm. There's a build up to the joke.
There's a premise, a middle.
There's a reason.
Yes.
And there are deliberate exaggerations that we do. And now you're killing the whole craft.
Yes.
The mystery is gone. The whole satire is gone.
The setup.
I mean, when I say I don't like mother-in-laws, they're a bitch. I've never even had one. Why are you that pressed? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just to highlight those things that the human beings can't say much. And as I was saying to those comedians, for me, for all black comedians, in actual facts, I believe for all black artists, we are constantly, to show that racism is not going anywhere, we are constantly in the position to must say. So imagine if there was no racism tomorrow. How much creativity, real creativity, that is, does not come from a space of dissatisfaction and deprived and all of those things. Now if I don't have to talk about female issues and colorism and all the other isms that affects me, imagine what will I create?
Ooh.
Pure comedy, you know, like...
Is there any things that you don't talk about, like... On,
I talk about everything.
There's nothing you won't go...
No. Yeah. I mean, everything is happening.
Yeah.
Whatever is happening, I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I am very sensitive to talk about, probably because also I'm South African women, is rape. And that one...
It's a sensitive thing.
Think... South African men in general, not all of them, men in general, you do not know how to love a woman that doesn't need you but want you.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
You are always...
You don't get it, so?
No, I get it.
I
get it, 100%.
I know this because most men, even the saying, you're the only South African man in general, and maybe other men, I don't know, but mostly I find that South African men are the only one that complain, you earn too much, you are this too much, on something that is constructive. Yet men are quick to find a wife on a pole. Which I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's great if you like the poll, but don't come here and say I'm confusing and difficult by being a normal girl. That does not make any sense. That does not make any sense. I'm exactly what I'm supposed to be, and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm working. I'm paying my bills. I'm doing my things.
So you're not Yebo Baba.
No, it's the thing is that's the thing. What do you want?
Yebo Baba.
And then what do you gain from it?
Yebo.
You see, I think that's exactly the thing that men must have a conference and really figure out. Your Yebo Baba is not from us, really, that you want.
No, but we've seen our parents. But
I'm telling you on a deeper core of it, because if you want Yebo Baba, you wouldn't be praising the people that don't do Yebo Baba as well at the same time. People that want Yebo Baba are the only ones at strip club as well. There's no Yebo Baba there. But why are you there? Because you like going for people that are not what you're looking for and you want to cover them. That's not hunting. Hunting is looking for what you want. You guys are looking for praise now. You're looking for victims, for people you're going to victimize.
Oh, I see.
That's not hunting. When you hunt, you aren't your equal. And also, the whole point of a relationship is that you teach me, I like you enough to want you in my space. I like your aura, but I don't know nothing about you. I'm willing to wait until you tell me how do you want to be loved. This whole thing of oppression, you guys, is because you still need to, once you fight racism, you won't be less pressed with the Yebo Baba. The Yebo Baba you want is not from us, it's from white people. And because we are the ones that you can get it from, you demand it from us.
Ooh.
And the thing is, you are not gonna get the Yebo Baba if you are not a Yebo Baba. Be a Yebo Baba first. It's not.
Yes.
I grew up in rural areas. I know everything. When there's a traditional thing in my house, I do all that three-legged pot. So don't tell me about those things. I know how to do it. You know, and I know everything. Because also, you guys don't want only Yebo Baba. You want only Yebo Baba and a blowjob. So now I must also be my dad.
It's too much.
They want them nasty-ish and the Yebo Baba.
That's what I'm always saying.
What do you think about blessers then?
I will never understand that shit.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Every time I refer to it as the one of the sources of the gender-based violence, people are saying you are blaming the victim. You are not a victim when you are going there. You are a victim when things are happening. But if you see red flags, because there are pictures who are ignoring red flags here. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? I think as women also we must start that whole shit. If your friend is being abused by the same person, always, because also you are putting all of us in danger. I'm not saying there's no difficulties in those situations, but all I'm saying is there's no way we are going to ignore talking about people who are ignoring red flags, because I don't have a man because of the red flags. And people come and ask me, why can't you have a man? Because it's hard to have them the way I want them. Because I'm going to have the motherfucker that I don't want. So I'm not going to be sitting for a month when I've known on the first date that you can't talk sense.
How do you want your men? How kind. Do you prefer them?
I want a kind man.
Kind. I'm the kindest man you'll ever meet.
If you have a kind person, your subconscious, your mind, you are even kind to yourself. So clearly, unobuntu. Ubuntu goes with kindness. Kindness requires you to think before you do any action, regardless any emotion.
That's me.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I think also it's a raw-born black man, because when I travel, I feel like, damn, you guys are lacking because you haven't given yourself a chance. If you think of how many women you've ditched for stupid reasons that were there for you, and you're carrying here, your ancestors must build you a house. You left your wife, number five, who was going to build you a house. Mm. The ignorance of always bashing on black women. I always say this, black women and black men, it's like they're in the same house, locked. The keys are with us, but you guys are beating us.
Yo.
So we so we're gonna stay here.
Yes.
So we're about to stay here because you are refusing to acknowledge that the key is me. In a spiritual sense,
it is.
In an understanding,
it is.
So the whole thing as a culture, I feel like we still need to go back to what it is to engage with one another between the two genders, so that we can have those black love and black families, because that's what we lack. And for that to happen, there must be a conversation that has nothing to do with the need. We need healing, both of us, black men and black women. But if you are meeting someone who don't want to heal, who've never healed, who's not in a process, who's refusing, so it's hard for that person to go and build anything with. And it's easy, just date people on breakfast. Because people are dating you guys through Hennessy's and shit. You can't, that motherfucker can't talk. That's why all of you, I came here and I was drinking non-alcohol, and this one's like, are you not drinking? You see, that's a problem. When you say you don't drinking, they get confused. Huh? What do you mean? nothing. Yes. Start dating on those breakfast dates. Let the motherfucker choke on the scorn and the lies. Chase it up with the rooibos. Talk. What do you want?
What you were saying. It's the truth.
Yeah. Because
there's a comedy in it.
We are filled with DMs that say nothing for 2 years. Hey, hi, hey, hi. Because the motherfucker must say shit. And the next thing, can I have your WhatsApp number? To what? I gave you a public phone. Yama DMs. You use nothing. Tell me the information. Who are you? Where are you from? Is your mother sick? Centimeters. Give me shit that I'm going to use.
Is your mother sick?
Yo.
Are you circumcised? Where we at?
All of it. Where we at? Because of people who are fucked during COVID. Walking around with polo necks. Just like Zulus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you are here now, you're spending the night on the first day. You don't know the motherfucker doesn't like to go down. No. Let's talk about these things over eggs. Do you like to go down? Do you even know? How old are you? 40. Do you know where's the clitoris? Because some of you don't even know.
Shit. Shit. You've met 40-year-olds who don't know. 40-year-old niggas.
And this is why it's cringing. When you're younger, it's fine. We're all fucking around. But daddy, brah.
Yeah.
To meet a 16-year-old that is 50. You're like, what the fuck is this? What happened to you? Even the strat couldn't fix you.
Hey, we got a long way to go, so
no, all I'm saying is though, try and date a woman that is going to challenge you. You need the challenge. Because you are not challenged. Yeah. And therefore, that woman is going to bring the best in you. And it has nothing to do, because we are stuck on who buys this. Even women, a man must. Even some women, we are very bad for dating for hunger. I know we are hungry, but yo, everyone is asking, what does he do? Who has? You ask people after dates, they don't come with nothing.
We don't even have the land.
Like, bruh.
You got shit.
We can't start talking about that. We're still confused about a lot. You know? I think for me, that's the whole... I love love. I love us. I love when I see... That's why I travel far, to make sure that I'm with the black culture. Whenever I go, I try to find black people. I know. I'm. But it's because I'm very fascinated with finding out how are we without pain. Have you ever been in an environment of black? Like, even right now, 2022, I'm still excited to see that your whole crew is black.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
That should say something. Yeah. So we try to find joy in little things.
Yeah.
If we can extend that for ourselves. and really find it. And it will take some work. And also, I think it's overrated, this whole thing of thinking if a woman is constructive and does things and work for themselves, now all of a sudden the vagina is not working. No, it's the same. Mm. Same. Maybe I'm better than Kim Kardashian in bed. Who knows? Like,
you will never know.
No, but I'm just saying, yeah. But Mrs. Ak, all I'm saying is,
with Ray J, she does.
All I'm saying is, you guys are like hung up on, in general, on seeing. And also, it takes the taste and the pleasure out of it. Mm. And the whole.
Is there a guy you've ever been with that met your standards?
Yeah, I have.
Nah.
I have. I've met the guys that met my standards.
The one that got away.
The last one did get away. I will say I also now this is where I looked at myself. What is it that I contributed towards? You know, because sometimes someone can be on the wrong, but then when you look back in the relationship and say, what is it that I did? My independence killed me in my last past relationship. Mm. I'm really, really, really like extremely since I was 18. Like I pay for my everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you are that girl.
Yeah. How does that kill a relationship?
Eh?
No.
It didn't kill, but I'm saying for me, then I am not easily impressed. I'm not impressed because you bought me a ticket to Dubai as such.
Or Hennessy.
But that's on him if he knows.
No. This is not where I'm going with it. I'm saying then in such big things, not that I'm not grateful.
Yes.
If things are done in great, just even if you take me to a place where I've been, I'll be so happy because someone that I love to
Moja
be there.
Chicken or something.
It doesn't necessarily mean that I only want expensive stuff. No. I'm just saying you understand that you must tread carefully if you're saying Tara. So your Taras can never be the things that you forgive, you ask forgiveness about shit like that.
Okay.
Like there's talk, you know, and I think I didn't give a talking phase too much. I was like, another one, I don't have time. I have shows to do it. I'm traveling.
I've got
vibes. Yeah. So being independent, knowing that you could, you know, you've done, now you could. It's a difficult space to be in as a woman because you subconsciously, in a way, have a masculine energy.
It's emasculating,
you know, as much as I don't want to.
Mm.
That's why I make sure I do all the makeups and the whatnot because literally I do everything for myself. So it when you're coming in here, it's not about you doing what.
Mm.
It's about who you are.
Yes.
Makes sense.
So that kills a lot of guys.
Yeah, because with
expectations.
If I can't provide for you, if I don't have money,
Where am I? Yeah. Come and sit and talk. Let's talk about now. At least now we are not. We've stopped. We've over the hurdle of finances and whatnot, and what you have. Who are you now? And also, it's going to give you a chance and me a chance to see myself. Who am I? If you're going to make me happy and I make you happy, now we are experiencing each other in a happy space.
Yeah. And have you ever dabbled in women?
No.
Nah.
Hey, fish, we got thin boy. You can't see food, Connor, but I'll fish.
Hey, fish. All right, cool. Let's play a game, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's called One Must Go, the comedy edition, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you two comedians. You must tell me which one must go.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Trevor Gumbi Mpo Pops.
Trevor Gumbi.
Must go.
Yeah.
No way.
For real?
Yeah. Trevor, I'm Trevisto.
Yeah.
Are you friends with Mpo Pops? What?
I'm friends with both of them, but Trevor must go.
It's because you like his style more than Mpo Pops.
Well, yeah, but I think on a sense of, I know it's going to get like, what the fuck did you mean? you know Trevor. Trevor is, you are mean. I think Pops has worked.
Yeah.
And just like me, I don't think most people understand how far he's worked.
Pops? He comes far.
Pops?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't fuck around.
Yeah. He's funny as hell, though. Yo.
And also, this is the thing what I was telling you about comedy being a craft.
Mm.
It's a constant work. Like, literally.
I was saying before we started recording, she was saying that's why there's no Slay Queens.
No, there's
in
no
comedy.
Slay Queens. Like. You can't come
in. Never touch comedy. They can rap.
They can DJ.
They can DJ.
Listen, I know. I must clarify this because I'm here. I hate the fact that it's saying girls can DJs.
You know, because Zintle and Sindo and Happy Girl have been DJing. You guys never had such.
Yeah.
Sometimes, just be clear. Excuse me. I've never had the recent, because I'm older now to know the new coming on. So I'm not going to judge. I don't know how. But if you're saying a person can't DJ because they can't, well, they can't. If they can, but you are... irritated because now they have G-strings and nice boots.
No, there's females that can, like Devin Gogo can.
Devin Gogo.
Yeah.
Lamise.
I think also that's another thing that we suffer from this country. We really, really are pressed sometimes and most of the times to find reasons why we celebrate mediocre. Meanwhile, we know. And then that's why we can't have conversations to say, I believe... You know, but I've never had them, so I'm not gonna judge any of them. I don't know them, so it's not about that. All I'm saying is, as much as there's a thin line, because it happens with comedy as well.
Yeah,
they bump me because I'm a female. No, because you are not funny, and I'm the quick one to say that.
Yeah.
No, because we're not gonna play this other. The game here is punchlines.
Yeah.
So if you are not going to deliver the punchlines, you know what I mean? Because you don't say the same things like Lauryn Hill and stuff like that, and females that do their thing. You never question them. So your subconscious tells you that this person knows their craft.
Regardless of gender.
Regardless of gender and everything. I'm in that space, but I won't lie. There's no way I'm going to have a woman on my show because she's a woman.
Okay.
No. Thank you.
Speaking about that... Tumi Murake versus Nina Hasty.
Hey.
I haven't heard Tumi lately.
Okay.
But I would say Tumi not must go.
Oh. Must stay.
Between Tumi and Nina. Nina must go. I love you, Nina.
Go, yeah.
But Nina must go.
I struggle to find female comedians, eh?
Yeah. Because this is the thing. You do this game for everyone. And probably people are going to be out there like, yeah, why did Celeste let him do this and compare women, blah, blah, blah. No, you do this for everyone.
Yeah, everybody knows.
So if you're doing this, it's all in chess. Also, that's another thing. I feel like as female artists, sometimes there must be an understanding that you're fucking around.
Yeah.
There's a nice advice I got from Thando Samazwai. She said to me, listen, forget about what they say. Whenever the minute you step on stage, the minute there's a mic in front of you, they must know they're not like you. So for me, I've always been with guys, and that doesn't faze me. I know that I'm gonna hold my own in such a way that they're like, hey, I can't go after Celeste.
Ooh, which are the female comedians? Which do you know?
There's Gilly now. There's Lindsay. There's Lindsay. Colored lady, and then Lindsay, Msimang, and then there's Noko, there's Nonto R in Devon.
Oh, so there's quite a few coming up, ne?
Well, there are, it's just that, like I say, there's no skipping this other part.
Yeah, yeah.
You like, there's no skipping the other part. The best comics, I go to LA and I find that I'm gonna perform, and they said, no, George Lopez is here to try a new material. Whoa. They're gonna bump you like that because they still need to go back to stage. Like that thing, like every time a person finishes an hour, it's back to stage because you are as good as your last hour.
Man, so it sounds so much like Anel, it's crazy. You look like the female version of Skumba.
I know, Nishale Nisho Jalo. We share the month, best month, probably, I don't know.
All right, Loiso Gola Kajiso Lideja.
Oh, Kajiso.
Must go.
No, he's making movies now.
I'm judging based on
the work. Material.
Yeah, like, because we are as good as yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay,
what did you think of Pierre Munati?
Definitely dope. I mean,
why
groundbreaking
weren't
stuff.
Why weren't you around?
I was still a bit youngish, or Devon, not attached to things.
Yeah,
I was still finding my way.
Yeah. And what impact did Luis Ogola have in your career?
Oh my God, he's the most honest. Right now, after he did the Netflix special, literally just after it came out, I had my small show at the Bioscope. And he gladly came and hosted for me.
Wow.
Then even everyone's like, fuck, is this Lois? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so, he's
always been amazing. He mentioned me in an article when he was in London. Mm. I saw it online. Mm. And he's like, he respects me so much. Wow. And I respect him, but I think what he gives me as respect is it's not something that people can normally get from a male to female counterpart, yeah, depending on whatever DJ, whatever. He doesn't see me as a female comedian.
He sees me as a comedian.
He's not scared to say, no, I'm not coming after Celeste.
Yeah.
I'm not ready tonight. Yeah. Like, for me, that's like, being honest.
Yeah.
And I love it. And
he's a big fan of Sol. He loves Sol.
Oh, for real? Yeah, bro.
He loves cool people, though. I think he will love this.
Yeah.
He loves cool people.
Because Sol
cool
is always dropping puns. He's like,
he's like, a cool person himself.
Yeah, chilled.
All right, cool. Let's go to Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle.
Obvious.
Is that next. Obvious?
Yeah.
Next, Dave Chappelle is a.
I think Kevin now. Fox.
Nah. What are you talking about? You have a show coming out in October. They talk about it till January.
Yes.
We haven't even stopped talking about Sticks and Stones.
Yeah.
Here we are on the closure, and I think also it's because I look up to him because of how much he holds the craft and the culture.
Yeah. What do you think about, because both of them got cancelled. Kevin Hart for the Oscars.
There was a tweet. See, yeah, homophobic,
You're entertaining too much of this cancel situation.
Yeah.
Really. Mm. For me, it hasn't cancelled racism. So talk to me. Wake me up then. Mm.
Oh.
I'm not buying.
Maybe it's because you've never been cancelled.
Because I don't tweet.
Mm.
And then that's another main reason. This whole social media thing has made you argue with people who have data but not that.
Hey!
So
repeat that. Repeat.
Repeat.
You argue with people with data but not data. Like now. Like if I'm not, it's okay.
Woo! Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that.
So I'm not about
to. Now I see why Loisa doesn't want to go after you. And you went on.
I'm on the stage, yes, to the Jets, it's gonna land. Got this on all the lag. It's a Kuluma, I'm gonna let's cut to Mamba.
Oh, Jesus. All right, last. Oh, this one is tough. I don't even know which one I'm gonna choose on this one. Mm-hmm. One must go. Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy.
Oh no, Eddie Murphy can go.
Hi.
Eddie Murphy can go. No, you're talking about the blueprint.
Richard is the king.
You talk about the blueprint, literally.
There is no Eddie Murphy without Richard.
There's no, like, come on. It's like Fox, yeah. Red Fox and you know, Dick Gregory's.
You know, can you do me a favor?
Mm.
These kids that are watching now, they don't know Richard Pryor. Please explain how brilliant that man. Guy was.
I think he gave so much freedom to even have an understanding of how we tell our stories.
Hmm.
He was brilliant in making, you know, I think at the time when he started comedy, those times the butt of the joke was black people.
Yes.
He turned it around and made sure that he speaks from a space of blackness, but in a very empowering way.
Ooh.
You walk around and you're like, actually, I'm cool because I'm black, man. Oh. You know, he made us feel good, I think, in his comedy. And also, our craft is who we are.
Oh, man.
We are rhythmic people. We learn because what we see. That's why they don't like culture when we use it until it makes them profit.
Mm.
This is when they're like, oh, yeah, cool, a little cool for I'm a chocolate. Now yeah. But the little cool allowed.
Yeah.
Only when advertisers must be paid. So I think he turned that whole thing around. He made the commercialization of our culture and owned it. Because our culture sits in certain institutions now and in certain systems. It's not real. We, as much as we own it, we don't own it, which is why there are people who can cancel the culture. And I think also even the phrase itself for me concerns me because whose culture? Whose culture are you canceling?
Mm.
Ooh, yeah.
Fuck, yeah, no, exclusive books is it's coming out.
No, and my father too. I learned the word wisdom when I was two. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And we didn't go to white schools. Yeah. I think that's what I appreciate. Also, I think my staunch pan-Africanist views that I have, I don't think you'll ever, I love being black.
Bro. Oh, man.
Like, I think even in my next lifetime, I'll be like, God, no.
It's fine, I'll stay black.
I'm staying here.
Yeah.
Because my dad instilled a lot of that. Mm. And it helped me as I was navigating, and you feel why he did that as a dark-skinned big girl. I realized, that's the reason why he made sure I'm strong enough to understand.
You've never dated a white guy?
No, my sisters did though. I've got white in-laws.
Oh.
And I've got white people sleeping in my house, but I still speak the truth. Yeah. Even as we're chopping the chorizos in France, like, yeah, but you motherfuckers are fucked up.
Oh, that's crazy, man. I was watching an interview you did with Anele. Uh-huh. And you describe your journey as spiritual intervention and not planned.
No, it wasn't.
What is that?
At all. I've, which is one of the things I've learned in my journey.
Yeah.
That, damn, I might say I do everything by myself, but I know definitely throughout the things that I've gone through, the man above has been just amazing.
There's a higher power.
Oh, man, I have the greatest conversation. Even when the space, I don't feel like, I know when to move myself and how.
Yeah.
Like, I feel it. I know. Even when I eat a wrong thing, my body tells me. That's how much I'm in tune with who I am.
Mm. Isn't it called vomiting?
Yeah. You vomit. That's if this thing is rubbish, I'll call you tomorrow.
But do you swallow?
Well, if we agreed.
Which one is
no man will never agree. Like
if
no
we
man
agreed.
Will say, please don't swallow. Oh, wait. If we
and
agree.
Also you must be clean. You guys like the whole swallowing, but you don't want to be asked, what is that part in there? What happened to your left pole? You know, and me, I ask all these things so that I can swallow in peace. In peace.
Wow. So she's supposed to swallow.
Knowing nothing. And the reason I swallow is because also you must go down.
Yeah.
So it's 50-50.
Yeah.
That's where my 50-50 plus.
Yeah.
In a table at the restaurant, I can pay. But there, 50-50, go down.
Man, I'd love to chat to some of the ninjas you've dated, bro.
I'm a cool person to date.
Yeah.
I know, they've told me.
Yeah.
And in a party, shame. I want love now. No, I told you, I'm a Virgo. I'm really, when I have sex.
Yeah.
When I don't have, I don't have it. But I don't have that sex that is, because also I'm not expecting. I'm not the person that you date and I'll be like, is he gonna propose this year? Is he not gonna propose this year? My sexual encounter, my sexual activity has nothing to do whether I'm securing the relationship or not.
Oh,
has everything to understand that now bodies are playing.
Yeah, let's go.
Katil one again and again.
Select. God damn. Yay.
Because I don't want anything.
Yeah.
No, I don't want anything. There's nothing. There's no ulterior motive. I'm not doing this because I want you to wake up and buy me a chin at a time and whatnot. No.
Hey.
That's why then my it's hectic to have sex with me because we going in.
Fuck, man, bro.
No, I'm not the one who's okay. We going in. Ginana my lingerie. That's why I don't anyone because ginana ain't all the sex. Zoglala list. That's why I understand what is sex.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not over sexualized.
Yeah.
Because when I do it, I understand how much of it is a spiritual energy exchange.
Yeah.
So if you are free with someone, I truly believe that for people to say sex is nice, I don't really think it's all abuse. Yes, of course, most of it is about how you move,
boom, boom,
and stroke counts and shit.
Boom,
but
boom.
You know, but I think mostly it's how you connect with the person. When you feel at home with someone, it's easy to explore.
Wow, man, what are we busy with right now? What's going on? What are we
I'm
busy
doing
with?
My show, Money and Men.
Oh, yes. Nice, nice. You sold out for two nights, ne?
Yeah, I'm doing it November 12th and 13th November. Yeah. And cool. Then I'm at the Paras Palace. Theatre of Marcellus. Yeah. And then I'm doing Baxter Theatre from the 24th to the 27th. Because of the numbers of the COVID.
Yeah.
So the ticket, I had compu tickets.
Nice.
For the show in Johannesburg and the show in Cape Town, they had web tickets.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's what I'm dealing with now, and then something I can't talk about, but you guys are going to be so surprised in a few months.
Oh, yeah, they told me about that Netflix thing. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, you are such a noisy. What the fuck? How did you... Well, I never said it, so. Well, you are so stupid.
I was taking a guess, by the way.
You're taking a guess?
Yeah, no, I don't know shit. Because I know you and Netflix, same WhatsApp group.
Well, I've done a lot of stuff with them. Definitely, I've done a lot of stuff with them. And that's where I'm going with the whole comedy being exportable. And yeah.
Awesome. What do you want to be remembered as, man?
Yeah.
A great person.
Yeah.
I love humanity a lot. Mm. At least I want everyone who has encountered me. Not that I'm sucking up or people pleasing, no. I just love when we have a human interaction and I know that I've shared enough and I've gained enough. Mm. I love fair conversations and fair connections that are not based on anything. I think that's when, which is why I love engaging with kids and younger people, because they don't have any other inhibitions and ulterior motives. So I really would love for everyone to remember me as such, but then I'm a die at 100, so don't fuck around. No, I'm not a dying type. I've got a lot to do.
Yeah. So you got a question, man?
Yeah, you said when you have sex, you have sex. I want to know, what's more intense, a clitoral orgasm or a G-spot orgasm?
Do you even guys know G-spot? Like,
I know. Where is it? Hence I'm asking.
Where is it?
Ah, come on.
You see, that's a problem. Show you? Yeah. Because you can, because I can show you what I'm here. Not with mine, of course, but show you.
It's inside, obviously, right? I can get there.
Right there.
I know how to get
right
there.
There.
Listen,
the
I know how to get there. I know how to get there. But it's like I wouldn't
know
where it
wrong.
Is. Come again?
You know where you were wrong.
Wait.
You just said inside. I don't know why you guys want.
No, G-spot and slip.
Subconsciously,
okay,
I know.
School me.
Yeah.
School.
Wait,
me.
I'm the one who has the thing.
So, school me.
That's why you guys want to take over our abortions and shit that you have nothing to do with. Shut the fuck up. I'm the one who has a vagina. Now, let me tell you.
Yeah, tell us.
The whole thing is that sensation, the clitoris has a lot of nerves in it.
Nerves, yes. Nerve
endings.
So the sensation is there. We are different in a sense that some people are there.
Yes.
But you guys, you want a shogolos.
Yes.
Nila.
Deeper.
No.
All of us.
Because no mechanic has
nisiafa. No. Hence I know. Hence I know. Ukuthi clitoris, you can get an orgasm from just that. And then there's... You can get orgasm from penetration. That's the G-spot.
You guys, the fact that we are having a conversation about this, that means you don't speak to your partners.
Mm.
And you don't allow your partners to show you and tell you.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Mm. We need to talk about this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I'm saying, the thing, the most sensitive part is outside. It's like Cremora, it's on top.
It's on top.
Just
not but there is a G-spot though. But there is a G-spot.
But on top.
But there is a G-spot.
Well, there is. But all I'm saying, that's why I'm saying it depends also. It's a combination of the strokes. All I'm saying is your shogolozaring, putting your finger in there
or your hand.
Is not the actual thing. Mm. It's how your finger moves.
I know.
Yeah, but now the putting inside, it's not it's
so long in the practical.
It's in the outer areas. Even if you are inside, you are at the reception.
So we agree.
Don't go into, stay at the reception. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
That's where our happiness is. At the reception.
So the
whether you go up and outside, but not.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Don't dig deep like Anglo-American minds.
I know.
Yeah, so yeah.
So the clitoral orgasm then.
He must kept there.
Reception.
Yeah.
So ask. People are different. Some people, their receptions work with strokes.
Hence I'm asking
and
you.
And then this is why. I'm explaining. And this is why you find people that squirts and stuff. Because it's a friction, a combination of the movements. And then if you are the ones that have, while you're pushing stuff at the top there, you know what I mean? There are patterns.
Yeah.
But you are never going to know where is my sensation lies. Because there are women who are enough with just the top.
True.
And then mostly it's a reception, but play on the outer areas.
Reception, Baba.
Stay at the reception. So
I know.
When you go to the room, that's for you guys to go and we are no longer there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also the strokes are the ones that make, because putting it in there, so you don't go then and you park your penis. Now your penis is parked inside, and then now what? It's about how you move, and you're not gonna feel my space if you're going to think I'm in a sangeni. No, so you're gonna be my fan.
True.
Zakala, man.
Man, I feel like I just went to school, dog. Biology class.
So, okay, gatenga tebuza na batu benua lokun ba buzugu tu funa na ifun e time buzugu tu muzu wakwe ganjan.
Oh, buzan.
Then mungenua zukulega ganjan likei. Abanye men ba chegelega left, abanye chegelega. Kune is entertaining.
Abanye genua ngomnyango apambi.
You understand?
Kiwe.
Genong e move.
Exactly. Rounder. Coco rounder.
Round your vanilla pambi.
Yes.
But all of this, it shouldn't be a mystery at this age. That shows that you guys don't listen.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Sometimes
because
you
most men are
questions.
Not comfortable. I'm not comfortable. When I say I'm talking, like I sit and talk right to my with my partner about these things.
Mm.
Whenever I have a partner, I'm not the one.
Mm.
We are not going to be playing a guessing game here.
Yeah.
What are we about? What do you like? What do I like?
Mm.
This is how I like. This is what I like. This is what I'm.
Man,
this is what I'm capable of. This is what I'm loving giving. So that's why you're not asking anything.
Hey.
You know, there are women who are really enjoying blowjobs.
Yeah.
But you never asked. Mom, kids are fucked with you all. Like, let me buy them.
Oh man, fuck it up. Oh fuck, I haven't loved this much in a minute, dog. So listen, Tuli, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It has been. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? Grandeur.
Grandeur.
No, grandeur. The food that is in Ganza's event.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a chair. And
it's all mine. I'm not just a face. There's not white men behind me.
So we're not gonna get a Bodan situation.
No. Which one is that one?
Okay.
You don't know that one. Yeah.
I love it. It's so nice. I like the oh.
This is my house. Yeah. The house of MacG.
MacG. Oh.
Shots fired.
Boys with Weiner.
Just boys like you phone, Nick, it's my house.
but you know what? Everyone has been asking me if you do these things. I'm like, I smoke a lot of weed, but I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
So whoever is out there,
yeah.
I'm looking for accessories.
Yeah. We are here, man. Podcast and chill. Where's my mic? Okay. We are here. Podcast and chill. Boom.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to Podcast and Chill with Mac G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.